Testing. One, two. All right. No wonder no one heard me. All right. Today we're going to continue through the book of Philippians. We're in chapter 2, verse 12. And I'd like to open up in prayer and then just a short recap of last week and then pick up today. Lord Jesus, pray once more that you open your word to us, that our heart would just be receptive, Lord Jesus, like good ground that's been plowed to receive the seed of your word, that you would teach us by your Holy Spirit that you want us to hear, the things you want us to grow in, and even how you want to challenge us, Lord. Thank you so much for your word, which is so clear to give direction to your people. Bless our time in your word today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today, what I want to share with you is Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 30. And the theme of this is what really matters in the day of Christ. You know, when you die, or if Jesus comes back before you die, there's not a whole lot that really you can take with you. You know that? I mean, we brought nothing into the world. The Bible says we're not going to take anything with us. And there's only a few things that really last forever. And the Bible tells us that the Word of God lasts forever. That's one thing. And we know that Jesus lasts forever. We know that there's eternal life. That lasts forever. And then people. People last forever. And people will either be forever with the Lord in heaven or forever in hell, separated from him. But either way, people live forever. And what I find in this particular chapter is what really mattered to Paul and to some of the other brothers here. It was people and where they would stand on the day of the Lord. You know, if you were ever going to invest your life into something, wouldn't you want to invest it into something that's going to last forever? I mean, I hate the fact that we do things, like my wife always tells me, I wash the dishes, I got to wash them again. And then again, and then again. Or she'll wash my clothes and she'll say, I got to wash those things again and again. It's a never ending thing, but there are things that do last forever. And while we do have to give much of our time on the earth toward things that are temporary, if we're really going to invest our life into something, let's invest into what's eternal. And for all practical purposes, it's other people. That's all you're going to take with you. It's you and whoever you can bring along. So Paul, the last time we were together, Paul was writing to the Philippians and he was really encouraging them toward unity. And he used the example of Jesus Christ as the model for how do we have this mindset that promotes unity. And it's humility. It's humbling ourselves like Jesus did, being a servant and being obedient to the Father. And we talked about that last time. And then in the end of those verses, Jesus told us, or Paul told us, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is working in you, both to will and do his good pleasure. And so when we're encouraged in the scripture to move toward something like unity, toward being in agreement with one another, just know that God gives you everything you need to do it. God will work in us to actually do what he wants us to do and to give us the desire to do it. And so after saying that, he starts with verse 14, and I'll pick it up there. Do all things without grumbling or questioning. You know, if you're going to work toward unity, sometimes you might work toward unity and grumble about it. How many here are good at grumbling? It's one of the spiritual gifts. It's not really a spiritual gift, but we find it's very prevalent. And he tells us, do all things without grumbling or questioning. And here's the reason why. So that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. So we're living right now in the midst of what he calls a crooked and twisted generation. And I think most of us recognize that, but he's telling us here, listen, while you're in the middle of that, I want you to be different than them. I don't want you to live according to the twisted and corrupt generation. Live as, what does he call it here? Blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish. So he's urging us to live a life that has a reflection of Jesus, even though we're living in a corrupt world. Jesus one time said, you're in the world, but you're not of it. And so while we live in this world, we can be different because of the work of Christ in us. Be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Amen? How many of you want to be a light that when you walk out there, they don't say, oh, there goes those nasty Christians. They just see a light. They see a light. They see something of Jesus. Maybe something that's actually attractive to them. You know, when you're in darkness and you're looking for light, wouldn't it be neat to be able to see a light in another person and come and ask them, why do you have such hope? What's going on in your life that gives you such joy in the midst of this world? Why are you so different? Be a light in the midst of this crooked and twisted generation. And then he says, holding fast to the word of life, which if you study the word of life, it actually speaks about Jesus being the word of life. It speaks about the scripture being the word of life. So it's just embracing the life of Jesus. Embracing the life of Jesus so that in the day of Christ. So what does that mean? He's saying, well, we're in the now. He talks about being in the midst of a crooked generation, but he's pointing to a day in the future when he says, in the day of Christ, you may be something. So that's what we're thinking about today. You know, what really matters on the day of Christ? And he's telling us here that if we live a certain way in this crooked and twisted generation in the here and now, it's going to have some effect on when we stand there before him in that day. You know, you only have one chance to live your life here. The Bible says it's appointed to every man once to die and then the judgment. So I want to live my life now in the midst of this generation so that in the day of Christ, I'll be ready for that day. Something will be different in my life and I'll stand before the Lord with confidence. But Paul was not writing so much about his own day of Christ. He was saying, so that in the day of Christ, I can be proud that I did not run or labor in vain. What does he mean by that? Well, Paul was pouring his life into these Philippians and other people as well. He's pouring his life into people. He was laboring and what he calls running. You know, Paul was pouring his life out for the sake of others. And he was kind of thinking like on the day of the Lord, when I stand there, it's almost like his attention wasn't so much on what rewards he would get. He wanted to make sure everybody else that he was laboring for stood there in a good standing before the Lord. He said, if you guys stand in the day of the Lord, I'll be proud that I didn't run in vain, that I didn't spend my life and my energy and my resources on something that sort of fell apart. And so Paul's encouraging them, hey, listen, while you're living in this world, let the word of Christ dwell in you. Let his way be built within your life so that on the day of the Lord, I'll look up there and I'll see you standing there and I'll be proud. And this is a good pride. This isn't a pride to be repented of. This is a good pride, like, I'm so glad that you made it. I'm so glad that you followed through with the Lord. So I just want you to see from that verse that Paul, his attention was upon other people. You know, what are you going to take with you on the day of the Lord? It's other people. And Paul was saying, on that day, I want to be proud because I see you standing there, that all of my labor and my running was not in vain. Isn't that a good thing to have? I hope you guys have that heart. I hope that maybe if you don't, if all you think about on the day of judgment is where you're going to stand, that's important. Don't get me wrong. But I hope that maybe God will turn our focus outward and say, I want to help others stand there on that day. And I want to encourage them. I want others to stand there. I want to be able to see a whole line of people and be able to stand back and say, I'm proud that I did not run in vain. I'm proud that I did not labor in vain. I hope all of us can have that heart. So here's my points from this portion of Scripture. How we live in the midst of the world today will affect our standing on the day of the Lord. Paul will be proud that they made it and that he did not labor in vain. Now, the next few verses, which I'll share, I think Paul is showing you the life of three people who really lived this mindset of Christ. Remember, we read that last week. The mindset of Christ was that even though he was God, he didn't think it robbery to be equal with God, yet he humbled himself. He became a man, and he became a servant, the Bible says. Not only a man, but he became a servant. And that's a word, slave. He became a slave, and he humbled himself even to death. He became obedient to the Father, even unto the death of the cross. It's like he just kept emptying himself more and more and more, but it was for us. And Paul was teaching the church here that this is the mindset that we should have as followers of Jesus. This emptying ourselves, humbling ourselves, becoming a servant, you know, being obedient to the Father. This is the mindset of Christ. And now he's sharing, I think, three examples of people who lived it out. You wonder, how do I live out this mindset of Christ? And it's found right here. The first person is the Apostle Paul himself. He said in verse 16, I'll read that again, point B, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run or labor in vain. So Paul was running for something. He was investing his life. He was laboring towards something. What was it? It was the benefit of others, that they would stand before the Lord in that day. And then he says, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. What is that? Well, back in the Old Testament, they had what were called drink offerings. And it was just a way when there were sacrifices brought to the Lord, sometimes they would take wine, different measures of wine, and they would pour it out with the offering. And it was to indicate full dedication. And Paul is saying, I want you to know, when I think of you, Philippians, I'm pouring my life out like a drink offering. That's how I think of myself. I'm giving my last measure of devotion toward this. You know, what am I living for? What am I, you know, my title is What Really Matters on the Day of Christ. And Paul was pouring his life out so that these people could stand before the Lord on the Day of Judgment and be welcomed into his kingdom. And I'm thinking, man, if there's ever anything to pour my life out for, wouldn't it be that? Here's the bottom line. All of us pour out our life for something. You have one. I think of my life as a cup, and your day you're born, it's full. And for the rest of your life, you're pouring it out, and it's emptying. And one day, the last drop will come out, and you'll be done as far as this planet's concerned. But we pour out our life for something. What is it for? Well, Paul, I think you see that he was pouring his life out for these people. What really matters on the day of the Lord? I'm pouring out my life as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. And then I love what he says next. He says, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. Now, I bet you there's people, maybe in our church, maybe in the world, I'm sure, who are pouring their life out, but they're bummed out about it. I got to pour out my life for these people again. I got to sacrifice for these people again. I got to give my life, my time, my energy, my focus upon these people again. But he says, I'm doing this, but I'm glad. And I'm rejoicing. Because Paul sort of had an eternal vision. He wasn't just looking at what he can get out of this life. He was giving his life sort of like the same mindset of Christ. Humbled himself, became obedient, became a servant, even to the place of death. And Paul, you know, as we read earlier in Philippians, he was facing possible execution here. So he's writing about real life stuff. It's not like, oh, I had to give a little bit of, like an hour of my time to somebody. No, he's talking about giving his life, literally giving his life, pouring it out for these people. But he said, I'm glad and rejoice with you, because I think he saw the eternal well-being of it. He saw the eternal purpose of it, that I want to be able to stand there on that day and be proud that I didn't run or labor in vain. And so I'm happy to pour my life out for you, the Philippians. Likewise, you should also be glad and rejoice with me. So a question I would ask is, how committed are we toward pouring our lives out? We have to pour it out somewhere. Maybe our prayer today is, Lord, help me see how I can pour my life out for the spiritual benefit of others. How I can invest that glass, that full glass of my life, as I'm pouring it out. Don't let it be just for me. Let it be for the benefit of other people. Because we're all pouring our life out every day. Every day we pour out something. And I love that this man, I mean, I think most people would say the Apostle Paul was one of the greatest men of God who ever lived. And I think it's probably true. But you see that the focus of his life was poured out. It was poured out upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. It was about other people. And then the next person he talks about is Timothy. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him. How would you like to have Paul say that about you? There's nobody like this guy. Well, what was it about Timothy? What made him so special in the eyes of Paul? Why was he such a great man of God? I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. Why Timothy was such a great man of God is he was concerned about the welfare of others. He wanted to see these Philippians, I'm sure, standing there on that day and also rejoice, just as Paul. And Paul was saying, hey, I'm in prison right now, but I want to send my brother Timothy, my son in the faith, my son Timothy, I'm going to send him to you because there is nobody like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. And then what does he say in verse 21? For all, they all seek their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. So let me take that scripture and let's emblazon that upon our hearts today. I think that we live in a world where we all seek our own interest. I know I do. I do. I have to fight against that all the time. We live in a world because it's like everything, like we become like the center of our universe. And so I'm thinking about my life and my things and my interests and my all this kind of stuff, when there's something about this mindset of Christ that lifts beyond that and looks upon the interest of others. And even beyond that, it's not just the interest of others. What does he say? He talks about the interest of Jesus Christ. That's what Timothy was interested in. He said, I want to be interested in the same thing that Jesus is interested in. And that's what Timothy was. And that's why Paul had such confidence to send this young man to the Philippians to encourage them, because he said, this guy, what really interests him is what interests Jesus. And because of that, he's going to be interested in you, this church. You know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. So I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I shortly myself will come also. So the second person is Timothy. Paul was first. His life was poured out as a drink offering. Timothy was genuinely concerned about the welfare of others. But more than that, he was concerned about what interests Jesus. So that's the second thing you can think about today. Where do your interests lie? What are you seeking? What is it that we are seeking and pursuing in life? Remember, you only have one cup to pour out. Where are you pouring it? You know, what are you seeking? Where are your interests? Where do they lie? And then the third person mentioned here is Epaphroditus. I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, your messenger, and minister to my needs. So what happened was the Philippians heard that Paul was in prison and they put together some sort of a package. You know, maybe it's food, maybe it was other things, but Epaphroditus was the guy who delivered that. He brought it to Paul in prison. Back in those days, you didn't get free food by being in prison. You know, so if you were going to eat, somebody had to bring it to you. And it was oftentimes strange because you had to identify with this prisoner. And so Paul often spoke about people who came to him. They were not ashamed of him, even though he was in chains. And so Epaphroditus came and brought this offering from the Philippian church to Paul in prison. It says, he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and near to death. But God had mercy on him, not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I'm going to continue to read here before I go back and comment. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy. And he says, honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Wow. Here's a guy who risked his life. Where does that even come from? Maybe it was sickness in the prison. Maybe it was just the travel, the danger of travel. The Bible doesn't really clarify what that was, but bottom line is he put his life on the line. He risked his life for Paul, and he calls it, he nearly died for the work of Christ. Now, if we were to do that today, many of us follower believers, fellow believers would say, the guy just needs to be balanced. He's out of balance in his walk with Jesus. Well, I believe we should have a balance. But I think sometimes we use that as a way not to pour out our life as a drink offering. So I want to be balanced in you, Lord. Well, pray for balance. But I think if all of us begin to say, what are the interests of Jesus? And begin to focus there. He'll take care of the balance. What are the interests of Jesus? I mean, there's something about this guy, Epaphroditus. This is really the only time he's mentioned in the Bible, another place in this particular book, but not much about him. But Paul says you should honor people like this. You know, not look down on them like they're out of balance in some way. This guy was willing to sacrifice, risk his life, and nearly die for the work of Jesus. That convicts me when I read that. I'm like, oh my goodness, you know. And you know, you read the stories, you know, Fox's Book of Martyrs and all the different stories of missionaries that have gone and lost their wives or their children or even their own life. And again, I think in some ways we look at them and we honor them. But then when it comes down to, does God ask of us the same thing? Well, it would be easy to talk ourselves out of it if he did. But I'm just throwing it out there. Like, maybe God would speak to us in some way around the example of these brothers. You know, he's telling us in this chapter, have the mindset of Jesus. This emptying and humility, death on the cross, being a servant, all this that he did for us. I mean, he did it for not for himself, he did it for us. And then he gives these three examples of guys that are actually walking in that. Himself and Timothy and Epaphroditus. So, you know, when you think about, wow, I could never really walk in the mindset of Christ, he's saying, hey, you can look. It's happening right now. And there's a challenge that goes out to us to say, I wonder if I can be one of these kind of people, Lord. So I'd like you to stand with me. Just like to summarize maybe three things you could pray for. So I wrote down on my notes here that this mindset of Christ can become offensive to us if we are involved in self-preservation. It can become offensive. Almost, I mean, I put the word repugnant down and I crossed it off and put offensive down there. It's like, I don't even want to do that. I don't even want to talk that way. I don't want to have that conversation because it's like a scary thought that I'm willing to pour out my life as a drink offering. I mean, who wants to do that? Who wants to put their life at risk or die? Who wants to die for Jesus? I mean, you know, we just push back like, is he really asking that of me? Well, maybe some of us. Obviously, there are martyrs throughout the scripture. Jesus told us if we want to follow him and be a disciple, we have to love him above everything else. Everything. Even, he says, even your own life. That nothing would be greater in love than him. So the three things I would like you to pray for are, what are you pouring your life out for? You know, you have one life, one glass of water. You're pouring it out every day. What are you pouring it out for? And maybe the Lord would speak to you and say, hey, I just want to redirect some of that water. Pour it over here. Pour it into something that has eternal value. Something that will last forever. Second thing is to be more concerned about the welfare of others than just yourself. See, he told Timothy, he said Timothy was concerned about the welfare of others, for all seek their own, not the interest of Jesus Christ. And I think the way that we can step into that is by really letting our prayer be, Lord, I want to be following after your interest. What is of interest to you, Lord Jesus? And that's what I want to pour my life into. What is of interest to you? And you know, Jesus is interested in your family. He's interested in your children. He's interested in your husband or your wife. He's interested in your, he's interested in all those things. But when we say, Lord, you show me what is of interest to you, he's the one who will dictate the balance of our life and where we spend it. So I'm not trying to put anybody under a guilt trip. I'm just trying to say, look at the focus of your life. And is it really geared toward things that will really count on the day of the Lord? And then the third thing was, you know, are you willing to risk your life? You know, no risk, no reward type thing. Are you willing to risk your life? Or just play it safe? Either way, there's a cost. Either way, there's a cost to pay. You pay for the risk, or you pay to play it safe. You know, we all are making an investment. And I've always felt like the greatest things happen where the risk is involved. You know, when you jump out of the boat, so to speak, when you jump outside of your comfort zone, when you say, I'm going to take a risk, Lord Jesus, and I'm going to risk my life for you, for your sake, for your kingdom, for your glory. So just give some thought to it. I love the way that Paul the Apostle shares with us to walk in the mindset of Jesus. And then I don't know if his intention was to say, hey, here's three guys doing that. But that's kind of what I gleaned from the scripture. It's really happening in people's lives. And man, he says we should honor people like this. So I pray that God would lift us up, Lord. I pray that you would move in our hearts today, each person here, to be able to say, what is the interest of Jesus? That would become the thing that we use to judge the activities of our life, the pouring out of our life, the emptying of our cup. What is the interest of Jesus? Father, I do pray that we would have an eternal perspective, thinking about how our lives will affect others for eternity. That one day every human being will stand before you, Lord. And I pray that all of us could have pride that others that we have talked to and shared with and influenced would stand before you so that our labor and our running would not be in vain. Don't let us spend our life on things that really don't count. But show us how to walk in it, Lord. This mindset of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.